This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from California, Florida. I don't know what day it is.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 13th, episode 1471, brought to us by the Auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, Horse World.
Buenos días. Están escuchando Caballos en la Mañana con Jamie, Glenn y Jen, la estación más divertida para todos los caballeros en el mundo. Buen día.
What she said.
Yeah, you know, I should really get somebody to find out if she's swearing at us in that, because I have never double checked that.
Don't listen to this crap. This is terrible. Change your radio station.
Rosie wouldn't do that to us. She's too nice. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Now, the big question of the day is, did you see Secret Life of Pets? And did Lucas like it?
Okay, I did go see Secret Life of Pets, and I went with Lucas, my father, who's 71, and I went with two 14-year-old girls.
Oh, you had the whole range of people there.
We went the whole range, okay? So you got 71, 38, 14, 14, and 3. The 71-year-old fell asleep.
Your dad, does he, to be honest, does he fall asleep at every movie?
I don't know, but he certainly did it this one. I don't see many movies with him because he just, you know. Two 14-year-olds didn't like it.
Really?
At all. Huh. Not even. A little bit. The 38-year-old didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No. It was, okay.
Well, we liked it, so you wouldn't like it.
I know. And I just kept realizing like how different we are, because you just raved and raved and raved.
But so did many of our listeners, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But they also like the Big Bang Theory. So whatever. The problem is with movies like that is they show all the funny parts in the previews. And the first 5 minutes I had already seen in 15 previews. And that was the part that I really liked. And then the last 5 minutes they showed in all the previews. And the middle part was, well, Lucas loved it, but he also was like, Mama, it's too scary.
I can see why he said that, because the middle part would be scary.
It was so scary, Glenn. It's not a child's movie. Tell me to take a 3-year-old that movie while dogs are going underwater, potentially drowning and dying. Like, it was horrible. What are you doing? You need children because you don't understand. You should have told me you need to bring a phone or something in there because he's going to get scared.
These parents have their kids watching Game of Thrones. What are you talking about?
Oh my gosh. He was terrified. So I was just bummed that I'd seen all the funny parts in the previews, like all the animals at home by themselves. I'd already seen that.
Now, next you're going to tell me you did not like the short.
I mean, it was okay. But you said you laughed for 10 minutes afterwards?
We did. We loved the short.
Uh-uh. Nah.
God,
I didn't get it.
Such weird taste.
So there you go.
So our consistency of not liking the same things continues.
I mean, you know, I realize I'm going to have to watch it 50 times. I get it. And so I think part of me is like, ugh, I got to watch this again.
But was it too scary? You won't want to watch it again?
No, because then, of course, did you like it? He's like, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because it always ends up with a happy note, right? So,
yeah.
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 But then if you think about all the Disney movies, they were always scary.
I know. I'm telling you, I tried to get him to watch Bambi the other day, and he was like, the fire in the woods. He was like, that's too scary, Mommy. So, I mean, let's...
Well, the first thing that happens in Bambi is Mom gets killed. I mean...
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like... It was terrifying for him. So, I'm grading on a 3-year-old terrified scale. So, it was a little different. But, as far as
now,
me,
now
I mean,
we heard a review the
life.
Other day on the radio, and I agree with this reviewer. He said, if you're not a pet person, you won't get the subtle things that pet owners are going to get in this movie. And I think that's true. There's a lot of little things throughout the movie that we all relate to and went, oh, yep, I had a cat like that. I had a dog like that. I had a dog that did that. So I think.
Did you really have a dog that jumped up on the counter and switched on the
We definitely had a cat that did that stuff. So the beast was always into that stuff. So, I mean, there's certain things you relate to. And
once that used to open the refrigerator all the time.
Yes, all the time.
And those parts were so cute. And I'd already seen them. So I was kind of bummed. I hate it when they show all the funny parts in previews.
Well, you could avoid the previews.
No, you can't, because if you take a child to a movie, that's all they show.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And by the way, can we make the previews less than a half a freaking hour anymore?
No. Oh, and the commercials now in between. See? But here's the other problem is that, Grandpa was in town. He left this morning. But Grandpa was in town. So yesterday we went to the toy store because Grandpa likes to take Lucas to the toy store and buy him a new toy. And oh my God, everything... You know, they just, all these movies
every
are just
one of the characters
cows.
From Secret Life of Pets is in there.
Every stuffed animal, you pull the string, it talks. You push on its stomach, it talks. You turn it upside down, it poops. I don't know. It was just like crazy.
I want to know, though, and we won't give away what this was, but the evil one, the leader of the evil pack, did they have stuffed animals of that one?
Yes,
they did.
Every one of them, Glenn. And then you have to collect them all. he's like, Mama, pets, Mama, pets. And I'm like, put it back, 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 put it back. Oh my gosh. But I did think Kevin Hart did a great job as the bad guy, you know, but very funny. But
I thought the voiceovers were very good. The actors did a good job. Yeah.
The voices were great. It was just, again, they showed all the funny parts. So
well,
if you wanted
like
to know.
Big Bang. You're out of, you're just, we don't count you anyway. You're in that 5% of the world who has this warped.
The 5%.
Yeah, well, we determined that 95% of our audience like Big Bang, remember?
That's true. I love all of our listeners. I do. And you know what, Glenn? Let me tell you a story. If everybody in the world was the same, the world would be a very boring place.
I tell that
to Chad all the time.
That
like, everything would be very boring if everybody was the same. So there's something for everybody on the planet. And you know what? Live and let live. So there you go. That's
well,
my review.
Speaking of which, we're going to find out about something a little later on. Jennifer's going to tell us about it right now that you and I are kind of on the same page about. We know nothing. So, Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, we're going to do some really hard-hitting journalism. A little step out for us today. And Kristen from thehorsenation.com is going to join us and explain what the nationwide obsession of Pokemon Go
I think it's Pokemon. Is. Pokemon Go.
See, we don't even know how to say
we
it
We don't
right.
even know what it is.
Whatever. and then returning to our usual hijinks, in mid-show, Taryn Hemmings, which is a name familiar to soccer fans around the world, is going to stop by and tell us about Sweat Cosmetics. And then Riding Drag, Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV has the headlines from across the pond. And but last but not least, happy French Fry Day, everybody. Oh, celebrate responsibly.
I love French fries. All right, so
we agree.
Oh, we do? Yay!
I don't eat them, but God,
smothered with cheese. Yeah, it's even better. No, see, I come from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where you smother your French fries in gravy.
Ew,
yes,
gross.
Gravy.
I smother them in mustard.
Mustard? Who puts mustard on their French fries?
This guy?
Don't tell me it's like Grey Poupon. Do you use the yellow mustard or the fancy mustard?
Just yellow mustard. I could almost just tip that back and drink it.
Oh.
Hot dogs, just mustard.
You are a sick puppy. I want to welcome all our new auditors who have probably canceled already after listening to this morning. We have Nicole. Is it S-I-A-N? And I don't want to say her name wrong. I know it's a female. Is it Sian or Sean? Or
Cyan? I don't know.
We apologize. We want to welcome S-I-A-N to the fold. Amanda, Kat, and Janelle, all new auditors here. And thank you so much for becoming auditors. If you want to be part of the super secret Horse Radio Network auditors page, you have to search for HRN auditors on Facebook and request to join, and we'll accept you into the fold. But welcome, everybody. We appreciate you a whole bunch.
My daily winnie goes out to a woman that lives in Cold Springs in Colorado. And my computer's acting up right now, Glenn. So can you tell me her name?
Sorry, I wasn't ready for that.
Okay, Pam Harrington. I got it. Sorry,
got it?
My computer. So there was a fire near her place in Colorado, a wildfire near Nederland. And she smelled the blaze, and the fire kept coming up and coming up. And she had a 5-year-old daughter, and they were doing their barn chores. And she had to get out of there. And so she makes sure that her 5-year-old daughter is safe and goes back in and grabs her 2 horses because the fire is like coming up to their property. And she realizes that she can't use a horse trailer because it was missing a part, didn't have like everything. So what does she do? She runs into the barn and grabs the horses, hops on one of them, and it's like running away from the fire. Now, what I loved about this is like she left her cell phone, her wallet, everything behind, but she got the horses and her kid, got out of there. And by the way, she was on her Mustang. Yay, congratulations. She made it.
This one, apparently, according to the article, they do reverse 911 calls to tell you to get out when fires are coming to neighborhoods like that. And apparently this fire spread so fast that the 911 calls were coming in and people were looking out the window and the flames were there. It was just that fast. It was spreading. So she ended up in the middle of this with flames all around her as she's riding her Mustang through the flames.
I mean, I do that on a daily basis, but it's like all in my head.
Your Mustang saving you.
I'm riding my Mustang through the flames, pony in tow, saving the world. Happens all the time.
Except
life.
You would be that person, that woman coming down, riding your Mustang with 18 horses in tow. You would have all 7 of them behind you, lead ropes with them all tangled up, and that's what you would. It would
come
be a
with
picture.
Me, guys. Yes. No, what would the reality would be like? Me leading a horse, trying not to trip over the ropes of all of them, and then going, "Come on, chicky, chicky, chicky!" And yes. 24 freaking chickens running after me. I tried to count them yesterday. I couldn't even get a hold of it. I was like, I should take a picture of all the chickens and then count the picture because it's really hard to count moving chickens.
I wonder who has more chickens, you or Wendy.
I got a bunch of babies. It's close. It's really close.
Well, good for this lady getting out of there. And wow. You know, I've never lived in a place that had fires like that. So, you know, I think until you've lived in a place that has had fires like that, where it comes up so quickly, I don't think you can really appreciate how terrifying that must be.
Well, they were saying that several were notified by their neighbors of the approaching flames before they even got the 911 call. And then they looked outside and there were the flames. Ugh. Boom.
The first thing you think is, well, you can see a fire coming. But I guess with the hills and the ridges and all of that stuff, and if it's traveling fast and it's windy.
Yeah, there was people camping out there and the park rangers were like, hey, get out. There's a fire. And the fire was like 30 feet away. That's how fast it happened. Unbelievable.
Well, we're glad they're okay. That is for sure. Hey, I wanted to do a story here quick before we get our first guest on to explain the whole Pokemon thing to us old people. Do you remember the story I did about the two young horse dealers, Charlotte Johnson and Anelia, I can't even say her last name, Jureka, in England? They're in Kent, England. And remember, they were the ones that were drugging the horses and ponies and selling them. Oops. I hate videos on news sites. But they were selling these horses and drugging them heavily. And then a bunch of the people went out and got hurt that bought these horses because the horses were just, they weren't broke, you know, and they were just out of control. Well, I just wanted to give an update on that story. They were found guilty. And they're all in jail now, all three of them, for 2.5 years. So they actually got jail time. You don't hear about that too often in a horse case, especially a horse dealer case. But they released some of the text messages that went back between the two. Give you an example. People confirmed for Coco tomorrow at 10. Coco must have been a horse they were selling. The response was, can you sedate her at 8:30? Give her a big shot of sed.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the next text line was, WOT dumped him. That must be the horse's name, Watt. You seem to use code here. Dumped him. Yup, threw her off in canter. Did the horse have a pill? Two pills and Cetylene. So here they are selling. The horse dumps the rider when heavily sedated, and they're here discussing it. So there was tons of evidence that these guys were you know, just doing this horrible thing. And we all joke about horse dealers, right? But you know what? Maybe this will set a precedent, at least in England, that if you're doing this, you have a chance of going to jail. And I think that changes the whole tune of things.
And to, you know, and this is another reason why you need to take a trained professional with you when you're horse shopping. And also, you know, have a veterinary inspection. You know, one of the things I do with every horse I buy is that my vet takes blood and puts it in the freezer. It's part of the thing about getting a new horse. And I buy from, you know, nice people that own their horses, but it's happened to me and it can happen to anybody. It was a place that sold a lot of horses and I thought, it's a nice barn, nice, reputable, you know, so I thought, of course, I find out later that the stories start coming in, but it can happen to anybody. So just be aware of that and do your diligence, do your research and have somebody with you who knows what they're doing.
Absolutely right. Well, let's see here. Jennifer.
And they deserve to go to jail. There you go.
And they do. 2.5 years. I'm glad they just didn't get like 4 months either. So, Jennifer, are you? Oh, she's okay.
Does it make you think of like Orange is the New Black when they're like, what are you in for?
Exactly.
Murder? What are you in for? Drug running? What are you in for? Credit card fraud? What are you in for? Selling drugs?
Horse fraud. Yeah. Horse fraud. Did you hear about the story in New Zealand where they found $10 million of cocaine in a horse head?
In a horse head?
Yeah, it was a horse head sculpture. But it must have been one big sculpture to put $10 million worth of cocaine in a horse head sculpture. Of course,
they've done that. Trojan horse. Like, come on, people.
It's what it was. That's exactly what they called it, the Trojan horse. But yeah, this horse sculpture shipped to Australia from Mexico. And these drug-sniffing dogs sniffed it out and found $10 million. It's the largest cache of cocaine they've ever found. So there you go. Horses used for everything nowadays. All right, now we're going to go to Kristen, who is a regular guest here in the show from Horse Nation. And the reason that we're having her on this morning is she did an article on Horse Nation about the whole Pokemon Go thing. And I've been hearing about this nonstop on the tech podcasts I listen to. And I had no idea what it was. Jamie went away for the weekend and got home, and that's all everybody's talking about.
Oh, my gosh. I went to a horse show. I went to Coconino for 3 days, and I come back, and like this, I feel like I was in a time warp. Something happened while I was gone, and somebody took over the world, and his name is Pokemon. And is it weird that Pokemon is running the world, and a Clinton is running for president? It's like we're back in the, you know, 2001. I don't get it.
Or the 1990s.
And there's Tarzan is in the theaters. I mean, yeah, we're back in the 90s.
Well, Kristen, and Dr. Wendy has called in, too. I'll put her on as well, because Dr. Wendy from the Driving Radio Show, was playing Pokemon all around Sarasota yesterday. So we'll start with Kristen and find out what the heck for us. By the way, neither Jamie or I even know what Pokemon was, because apparently we missed that memo in the 90s. So, Kristen, what is this and why is it so popular?
Oh, man. Well, okay, so Pokemon is a video game. I think it started on like the Game Boy. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, I remember the Game Boy.
And there was Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. It was a Pokemon card game first when those were trendy. I guess those are probably still in if you're in the right circles of, like, hardcore nerds. But, yeah, it started as a started for me as a video game. And you have to run around this little world and catch all of the Pokemon. And then I guess you can battle with other people and fight them and stuff. And, like, when I was in middle school, it was, like, a super fun time. And then I got into actual horses and ran out of time to do stuff like that. But now Pokemon Go has come out, and they're calling it an augmented reality game. So, like, you walk around your real world, and on your screen it'll show you if there's a Pokemon in the area. So, like, you know, theoretically, I guess they're all around you all the time. So it's a little strange, but I downloaded it a couple days ago just to see what was going on, and I caught three in my house. So who knew? You know, I was housing all these extra animals.
I don't, like, how
did
do you
have
catch?
To feed them?
How do you catch
so,
it?
So, like, when you're walking around, your phone will buzz if there's one near you, and then you swipe, and it throws a Pokeball, and the Pokeball catches it. So... Don't ask me how that part works, but...
I'm going to need you to speak English.
Okay, Wendy. Wendy, you're out playing this yesterday around Sarasota. So can you add to that explanation to clarify how you play this game?
I'm so glad you called me. You guys don't get Pokemon at all.
Wendy, you sound like you're in a... Wendy, hold on. You sound like you're far away.
Okay, is this better?
Do you have your mic on?
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I have my mic on.
Yeah, it sounds.
She's out catching Pokemon.
Yeah, it sounds like you're actually your mic is not you're very hollow and echoey.
Right. Is this better?
A little bit.
Is this better now?
Oh, there you go. Now we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry.
So start over.
Okay. So the Pokemon, they're pocket monsters. Okay, and you have to remember this is made by Japanese people, and they love like cute little monsters. And the reason I knew about Pokemon is because I have half brothers and sisters. My little brother is 29 years younger than me, right? And so I spent a lot of time watching Pokemon cartoons. And they're actually super adorable little animals, which all horse girls love. But I think it's a great game for kids because you have to, like, treat your Pokemons well. Like, you have to take care of them. It teaches kids about pets. And then when you battle them, I mean, they don't get hurt, but you have to, you know, you have like, it's kind of like what we do with the horses. You know, we don't fight the horses, but you're in a competition with your animal. So those are the kind of things that I like about it. And for the game, it's super fun because, if you go, you open your app, right? And you're just watching this cartoon map. And when a Pokemon comes and you push on it, your phone, your camera opens up. So you can see everything around you through your camera, like in real life. But then a little Pokemon will appear. That's what everybody's posting with their horse pictures. So you can see, like, the people are sitting on their horse and you can see the horse's head. And then you can see this little Pokemon that's showing up on your screen. So it's actually pretty fun. I think that's a really...
Well, now, are there specific places like...
Technology-wise, I think that's super cool.
So everybody's walking around town. A matter of fact, Liz Covart said in Boston there'd be like 100 people around a monument. Are they in certain places? Do people put them in certain places, or are they just showing up, or how's all that work?
Well, there used to be a game that was kind of like geocaching.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it's called, but the Pokestops are from that old game. And so sometimes you'll see like a monument or like in Sarasota, there are a lot of times at churches and bars. I don't know why.
So the Pokemons are either religious or they're drunk.
But so the old salty dog is a Pokestop. So, which is good for the old salty dog because people want to come.
How did the old
there,
salty dog get to be a Pokestop?
Well, whoever did the previous game liked to go to Old Salty Dog, I guess. That's what I mean. Churches and bars and monuments. So when you go to the Pokestop, you go there and you can get like Pokeballs. You load up on your Pokeballs to catch more Pokemon. But it encourages you to walk around. Like you'll find a lot of Pokemon at places that are like walking areas. Like down at Fiesta Key Beach, there's a ton of Pokemon. They're all over.
Okay, you got this now, Jamie. You totally understand how this works.
I okay, so they're just like somewhere, like there could be one floating around in my room right now, and I need the app to like go see it.
Yes. Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what I think is
I'm going to try this because
thing about this.
What?
For businesses, right? So, like, say for the Old Salty Dog, they're a Pokestop. So people go there to get their Pokeballs. And then you can release this, like, it's called incense. So for 30 minutes, the incense will release and it's supposed to attract more Pokemon, right? And so when we say this, I mean, obviously it's a game, so they're just sending them there. But the good thing is then on my map, like say I'm walking by the Old Salty Dog, I'll see all these little hearts. So it looks like somebody's released their incense. So I'm going to want to go to that business and hang out there because I know that Pokemons are going to come and I can get Pokemons. So it's actually, if you look at it, not just a game as a marketing tool, it's going to be huge for these businesses. They're going to want to be Pokestops.
Now, on the tech side yesterday, Kirsten, I don't know if you saw this, but on the tech side, the big thing was, and this was on the national news too, that when you install this app, it pretty much takes control of everything in your phone. It can look at your contacts. It can look at everything. So that was a big controversy yesterday, and apparently the company, by the way, the company that designed Pokemon, guess who owns that?
Nintendo.
Donald Trump.
The company that actually did the design, it all funnels back to Google, by the way. So it gains total control of your phone. It can look at your contacts. It can look at everything in your phone. And when they got caught on it, they came back and said, oh, that was over-designed. We're going to fix that. So they've kind of backed off a little on what it gets access to. But, oh, by the way, people, if you read most of those apps that you install, get control of everything in your phone anyway.
And this
one apparently has to have control of your camera and your microphone and the whole thing because it uses that. But, so
it's worth it.
It's similar to that. When I was on to talk about that Horsemoji app, it's kind of the same idea that the developer technically has access then to your keystrokes because you're using the keyboard. So I think it's kind of the same concept there. But yeah, I agree. I think if a lot of people would actually read all that fine print, most of your apps collect information. So
yeah.
So I guess that's the risk when we all get really, really reliant on our phones that, you know, all that information is probably available if we, you know, read carefully.
And what do we all say? So. Just what Wendy said, it's worth it, or who cares? What the heck? I have nothing
it's
to hide,
it.
Right? So I think that's why most people just...
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I would much rather give up my my privacy to Google than not to have Gmail.
Honestly, Google wants to find you. It's going to find you. You know, Google's running the world. Well, we're all just living
here. And what did we do before Google? I mean, if you didn't know the website... You know, the perfect spelling of the website. You couldn't find it.
Oh, don't you remember the search engine Dogpile? Dogpile? Don't you remember Dogpile?
No.
No?
I don't remember Dogpile.
Nobody remembers Dogpile or Ask Jeeves or any of those nonsense. Now, I just posted a picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and this is going to explain a lot of what's happening in the world right now. It's a picture of a dog totally passed out, and the meme is, that's the sixth walk today. WTF is a Pokemon. And I love it. I want
to more interesting to look at all the results of this game than, you know, like I tried the game. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of cool. All right, whatever. I don't go enough places to make it worthwhile. But to me, it's really interesting to see all like the side effects of it. Like, you know, people are saying like, oh, this is helping me with my depression and my anxiety. I've taken more walks outside than I've ever taken in my life. And
well, that is the one thing. It's getting people outside. That is one thing. But from the reports that are coming in, they'll be in the cities. There'll be 100 people around this monument all looking at their phones and nobody's still talking to each other. So you have that.
So they're getting out, maybe.
Yeah, at least they're moving.
I did notice, too, you know, for fun this morning, I was like, all right, we were going out to go ride. So I was like, let me turn my phone on and just see what's out here in the cow pasture. And fortunately for us, there are no Pokemon on our cow pasture, because otherwise I think we'd have people wandering in and getting run over by angry cows. But it sucks your battery and your data really fast. So I think that might be
it does.
an unanticipated side effect.
Well, that's because you have the camera on the whole time, right? The camera's on the whole time, so that's why it's sucking your battery down.
Well, I think the camera is not necessarily on, but it, as soon as you take that next step, it turns on. So, but yeah, because the GPS has to be on all the time for it to work, because it is like, the augmented reality, you're still in your world, so the phone knows where you are. So if your GPS isn't always on, it's on when the app is running.
It does explain one thing, and that's why our horses seem to spook at nothing, when in fact there are Pokemon out there scaring the crap out of them.
Yep.
Yeah, they can see them.
So apparently now
that was one of the funniest memes I've seen. Finally, I downloaded an app that shows me all the things my horse was spooking at.
Exactly.
And you take the picture and you're like, oh, that's what the problem was all along. There was whatever hanging out in the corner. So
let me review here. You're holding your phone and you're walking around, and there's a little, like, all of a sudden a monster appears, and or what happens? So I'm walking around with my phone. What happens next, Wendy?
Well, then you'll see a little, you can see your map, right? You're like a cartoon, and it's a cartoon map. And then when you see this little Pokemon appear on your cartoon map, you push it if you want to catch that one. Then your camera comes on, and then that's when you see, like, through your camera, like the real world, but there's a little cartoon Pokemon there.
Okay.
Then you throw Pokeballs at it.
So you have balls that are just in your storage bank of balls, and you throw balls at it, and then it catches it. Where does it go? Does it disappear?
It goes inside it's a special. Okay, the ball is a special, storage facility for your Pokemon.
Sort of like the Ghostbusters and the ghosts.
Yeah. It's like the Ghostbusters capture thing.
Yeah.
So then you have it that goes in your ball, and then you can put it in your backpack, and then you can walk around and carry all your Pokies.
Do they get heavy?
But in the olden days, in the olden days they do, but now you have like this virtual Pokédex. So you just have it. It's like, you know all the Pokemons you have. So when you go to the gym, like, you see all of the gyms are controlled by different people. Like, the first day, if there was an empty gym, you could just put a Pokemon there. But now all the gyms have a little monster there defending it. It's like a dojo, right? Because this is Japanese. So when you get there, if you want to take over the gym for your Pokemon, you have to battle the one that's there. So you have to decide. All of the Pokemons have different traits. So you have to decide which one is the best one to counteract that trait.
Does it bother anybody
Pikachu
else?
I gotta
jump in here. Does it bother anybody else that the most highly educated person in this call, Dr. Wendy Ying, is the one that knows everything about Pokemon?
I love Pokemon. I'm Asian.
I was going to say, she's Asian. They, like, are born with Pokemons. Like, they come out looking like Pokemons, and then they change.
I know.
We need to have you doing more there, girl. We need to give her a bigger job.
You know, you still have clients, right?
Yes. I was just going to say
still
that.
I know. Well,
and we have a show to do at 2 o'clock today, right? I'm just clarifying that.
I know.
Okay. All right.
Well, Kristen, I have all of our guests lined up.
Kristen, are you playing this, or are you just like writing about it?
I'm like half-heartedly playing. I don't think I get out enough to make it worthwhile to really play. And I don't go into town enough either, because I think half of the fun of this is like, or at least maybe not half the fun, but I think I'm missing out on a lot, not being in a more urban setting where I can look around town and see everyone else glued to their phones walking around places. So, like, I'm out in the country, I drive to the barn, and then I go back home, and then I go to the barn again. So, there's not a lot of,
keep that going.
Large scale interaction.
Yeah, keep that going.
I think I'm okay with that.
You'll waste
stuff. What I found is that, like, maybe it's because, my technique is off. Like, Dr. Wendy's probably going to own me on this, but, like, I need both hands to do anything with it. So, that makes it really hard either when you're holding reins or, you know, last night I was like, oh, maybe I'll try this while I'm driving the draft horses. Like, this is a bad idea. Like, I cannot take my hands off of anything to be able to, you know, think around these Pokemon and get run away with across the field. So
all of a sudden,
the takeaway message for horseback riders is like, you should probably focus on your horse first and worry about your Pokemon after.
To me, the takeaway message here, Kristen, is teach all of them to neck rein. Duh.
Oh, true.
That's
tough.
You still have to be able to, you know, finagle all this other thing with your other hand.
That's tough to do when you're driving horses like Kristen.
I can't do this.
Kristen, you're going to have to learn the one-handed driving method now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then I should really just have Racky and Randy do the catching for me. Be like, you guys, take the phone. I'll steer. You work it out.
Oh, that's a good way to go.
Well, thank you, Kristen, from HorseNation.com for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Wendy, from the Driving Radio Show. I feel enlightened now. I still don't want to go play, but I feel enlightened. Like, I actually know what's going on in the world. And we appreciate
it. Yeah, if you have Instagram and you search the Horse Nation hashtag, just hashtag Horse Nation, people have been putting up their Pokemon horse pictures like crazy. So there's probably 12 or 15 just in the past 24 hours. So,
check that out
if you have Instagram.
Pokemon and Instagram. Damn it. I have a lot to do.
All the apps. You're going to run out of space on your phone.
And don't Pokemon and drive. Don't Pokemon and drive. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. That's bad.
Probably not a good idea.
It's a Pokemon sitting in the middle of I-10. People are freaking out. Wrecking cars.
Yep. Yesterday, I was yelling to Kyle, stop, there's Pokemon. And they wouldn't stop for me. He would not stop.
That's funny. I did the same thing with Chad and geocaching. Let me do one more. It's right over here. Get off the exit. Come on. Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys.
Kind of like that. Bye.
All right. We have serious guests to get to. See you guys.
Bye. Oh, my gosh. We're just learning so much, Glenn.
I don't think I needed to know that much, actually. But Wendy, I was really kind of getting disturbed by that as I went along going, she's the smartest one on this call. Listen to her talking about this game.
I'm Asian.
I give this one 3 weeks and then it's done. I do. I give this one 3 weeks and then it's a fad.
Okay. Well, people said that about Twitter. So
yeah, but they said that this is in a week has gotten more users than Twitter. It's incredible.
It's crazy. Well, I just downloaded it, so I'll keep you posted.
All right. Yeah.
How many are in my
I'll be seeing posts from all over Phoenix.
I love it. Well, we've got our next guest here, Glenn, and I'm really interested to talk about what is happening here with Sweat Cosmetics. Is Taryn Hemmings is on the phone, and Taryn, are you the founder, the creator, the spokesperson for this cosmetic company?
Hi, I am a founder, so there's five of us total. So founder and part of the original idea and concept of it. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question before we get started. Are there any Pokemons at Sweat Cosmetics? Have you had people lining up out the door?
We have not started with Pokemon, but I was dying listening to the last part of that conversation because I was just introduced to it last night with one of my friends, and we were at dinner and she left dinner to go catch a Pokemon. So very interested to hear all of that because I really hadn't heard much about it until yesterday.
Well, apparently nobody heard anything about it until like yesterday. So it's all good.
Well,
Taryn, good morning. Thank you for joining us. When I was presented with the idea of talking to somebody involved in a cosmetic company this morning, you know, Glenn's like, here, we're going to talk to Sweat Cosmetics. I was immediately nervous because I do not buy products that are tested on animals. I don't. And so a student's mother tries to sell me Mary Kay all the time, and I'm like, I can't buy Mary Kay because it's tested on animals. And then I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous because Glenn wants me to talk to somebody to talk about cosmetics. And what if they test on animals? And what's the story? Do you guys test on animals? First things first.
We do not.
Yay!
We do not test on animals.
I Googled. I checked it out.
Synthetic. So you don't have to worry about that. We are cruelty free. So
I love
it's
it.
All good for you.
Well, there are there are definitely people that are like me, and you know, it's hard to find cosmetics that are not tested on animals. And so I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about what you guys do, because it's a bunch of athletic women that have created this company. Tell us about Sweat Cosmetics.
Okay. So, we're all actually soccer players. So, two of
so
us.
So you're attractive. So you're all hot. So you're all hot.
Yeah, we were discussing that before the show. Is that a requirement for female soccer players? Well, even male soccer players for that matter, to that they all have to be like model drop dead gorgeous?
Yeah.
Because
beautiful.
You all seem to be.
Everybody's beautiful. You don't have to answer that. I said you don't have to answer him. I'll just answer him for you. Yes, Glenn, you have to be hot to play soccer. So tell us about the company.
Two of us started in college playing together at the University of Denver, and we came up with this kind of idea of, you know, we're wearing makeup, we're wearing sunscreen, it's awful, it's in our eyes, it's clogging our pores, we're having breakouts, and there was just nothing out there made for an athlete. So we started talking about it in college. I then left and went and played professionally, and Emily went and got her CPA, and I was on the road all the time and had a lot of spare time to do some research. So I started looking into things, and we just could never really forget this idea, and we were like, we have to do this. So I actually met our other three partners, Leslie, Lindsay, and Courtney, while I was playing in Boston, and all of them brought something very different to the table. And so we finally, probably about 4 years later of talking about it, we finally sat down and said, okay, we're doing this. Found a chemist, met with him, created the first product that we really, really loved. It took us about 7 rounds of testing it on ourselves at practice every day, just making sure it was something that really worked and that we obviously would wear ourselves. So we were our own testers. And then we came out with our first two products. We launched last June around the Women's World Cup. So we had a lot of the U.S. national team players wearing it. We gifted it to the whole team just, you know, because they were our friends. And we thought it would be a great time for us to kind of get our name out there and have some legitimacy to what we're doing. So that's kind of how we started, and we are in our first year of the company actually selling, and it's been going awesome. So that's a pretty quick rundown of everything. But
well, I got this image of the team all going, hold on, coach, we got to get your makeup on. Yeah. We'll be right out. And I love it. I love it. Well, we found out about you guys because you actually have some equestrian ambassadors. We just talked to Lauren Billies, who is going to the Olympics. And you also, one of my favorite people, and again, beautiful people you guys are employing, is Tamara Smith, is also an ambassador, and she is definitely a friend of the show. So you guys are already kind of getting yourself involved in the horse world. And there is not a place I would know more than a bunch of sweaty horse chicks that need a little help, myself included.
Yeah. I am new, definitely new to the equestrian world. So we actually were connected to both of them from one of our good friends who also played soccer. So yeah, it's been really fun to kind of see these two girls and learn about what they're doing and their events. And it's awesome that Lauren's going to Rio, and we're so excited for her, and she's been awesome. And so they kind of, I think she represents them. So our friend was like, listen, these are the girls you need to go after. They're beautiful. They need sunscreen. They're always in the sun. They're outdoors. They are getting pictures taken of them. You know, it's kind of the same for all of our athletes, where it's funny. People are like, girls don't wear makeup while they play sports, blah, blah, blah. And, and some don't. But at the same time, most of the girls that we were playing with do. Most of the girls you see on TV in the Olympics are wearing it. And we're definitely not out there saying you need to wear makeup. Like, you need to have that. But at the same time, it's more of a thing where if you are going to wear makeup, wear something that's really good for your skin, wear something healthy. And then on top of that, we added the SPF. So then you can feel protected as well.
So what kind of makeup do you guys have?
We have two products right now. We have a translucent mineral powder and then a mineral powder foundation. Both are super similar in look, but the translucent mineral powder is completely sheer, so it's not going to give you any coverage. So a guy could wear it. You can put it on your kids. It's more about the SPF. It's SPF 30, and it's a powdered sunscreen, so it's not going to be the liquid, thick, white, cakey stuff that you put on that is going to clog your pores and get in your eyes. But it's the same ingredient. It's still zinc, so it's a natural sunscreen. It's great for your skin, but in a powder form, it really allows your skin to breathe through it, but you're still completely protected.
Mm-hmm. Taryn, I got to tell you, I'm hearing from you. You just heard the end of the conversation about Pokemon. And on that conversation was Dr. Yeah. Wendy Ying, who is a veterinarian and Chinese medicine doctor. And she's one of my co-hosts on another show. And she's just writing to me saying, I use Sweat Cosmetics. She uses the product. Yes, she uses the product you just talked about. And she said, use the Twist Brush Mineral Powder SPF 30 and keep it in my pocket and brush it on every few hours.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so yeah, I didn't know that until she just wrote to me on Facebook because she's listening to the show. So, so it's veterinarian approved, apparently. Yeah.
Perfect. Cruelty-free and veterinarian approved.
I love it. So you've got the foundation, which is also a powder, and a twist brush that like goes down into it and it pulls it up into it. Is that what happens?
Yeah. So that was another big piece of kind of what we wanted to do was the convenience factor and being able to throw it in a bag and not worry about it spilling or getting everywhere. So we put it into an applicator that's all in one. So the powder sits in the bottom and then you just twist the bottom and the brush comes up and the powder comes actually through the brush. So it's super easy.
Oh my gosh, you can keep it in your pocket.
You can keep it in your car. You can put it pretty much anywhere. And it's never going to spill. It's never going to get all over. So that was another big piece. We also were thinking, you know, as athletes, you don't want to be sitting on the sidelines or somewhere and pull out your compact and your brush and a mirror and be doing makeup like that. So it's kind of, you know, a big piece to it as well. Just how girls would be comfortable putting on the makeup and reapplying. And, you know, just we always really want to push the sunscreen part of it too, just because it's so important to us and protecting all female faces, everyone's faces really. But yeah, so that was a big part to it. Definitely the convenience of the twist brush.
Like Jennifer just typed, she's like, it's very discreet, first of all, but you know, I like to use mineral sunscreen because I don't like all the chemicals and the mineral sunscreen kind of sits on your face. But the problem with it is it's all white and it just never quite rubs in. So to have the mineral foundation or the mineral powder right there in the convenience of a brush, this is just awesome. Do you guys have plans to do any eyeliners or lipsticks or anything else that some women use?
Not horse women, mostly.
Yeah, we actually have a couple new products coming out in the next probably 2 weeks or so, which is really exciting. So we have a bronzer and we have an illuminator. Both are still in our twist brush, so they make it even easier to apply. Just some more color to add. Easy products. Both actually have SPF as well, so they're both SPF 25. And then we have some cleansing wipes as well. So, you know, they're individually wrapped, so they're not in the big white containers. So you can throw a bunch in your bag. You can carry them around with you, and they're just
really great
for cooling down after working out or, you know, taking off some of your makeup. So they're green tea, they're coconut water. So great products for athletes as well. It's detoxifying, it's moisturizing. So we're really excited to launch with those as well.
Oh my gosh, this is costing me money, this interview, Glenn.
Yeah. You know, everything we do here seems to cost us money.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Taryn, how you know, you're a professional. Are you still a professional soccer player?
I am not. I actually retired this year, so this is my first year not playing.
Did you ever think, being the athletic, you know, tough soccer player you were, that you would end up owning a cosmetic company when you got out?
I don't think I ever really thought about it, but it actually is, you know, it kind of combines two of my favorite things, and just having a little bit of a girly side and the athletic side. And so it's great because now, you know, going from something that you're so passionate about and you've done your whole life playing soccer, and then having something to be just as passionate about and really have to put in that much effort and that much work has been really good for me, and has made the transition so much easier from, you know, it's always hard to decide to stop playing or stop doing the thing you've done for so long. But I think for me, it was a lot easier just because I had sweat and I had something that I really cared about and was really interested in doing. So
now, when are we going to see you on Shark Tank?
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, we're hoping that we don't maybe have to go on that, but it would be awesome. I mean, I love that show. I'm a huge fan, but maybe we don't have to go, but we'll see.
This does have Shark Tank written all over it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but she doesn't want to sell it to any of those guys, you know?
Like, no, she doesn't have to.
Part of your company, you don't have to.
Yeah.
No, you made a really good point to talk about something, you know, kind of the letdown of retiring from a professional sport and to be able to go straight into something that you can just throw your heart into. You know, you're... what you did, and any professional athlete, your whole entire lifestyle revolves around that and training, and it has forever. So to have something to be able to jump right into is awesome and very admirable that you threw kind of everything into this, and you're doing a good thing. It's just going to be so helpful, and you're not testing on animals, and you're helping women, and you're promoting sunscreen. I live in Phoenix. Dear God, you know, I mean, any way to have better sunscreen out here for sure. So I just, what is the website people can go to? And I think you guys have a Facebook page as well.
Yeah. So our website is just www.sweatcosmetics.com. Our Facebook is Sweat Cosmetics. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, all under the same handle. So everyone can kind of check us out and learn more about us on those sites.
Fantastic.
We're also on Sephora.com. So in the US, which is, we just launched with them a couple weeks ago. So we were really excited about that.
To kind Sephora?
Of really break into the makeup. Yeah, we're just online. We're not in stores yet, but hopefully... sometime soon we'll get to that route.
Gosh, congratulations. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, very cool. I love women that are empowered and doing something. I just love it. Giving you a big hug right now. Sweat Cosmetics. Sweatcosmetics.com. You guys check it out. Again, this is getting expensive.
Okay. Well, you know what, too? There's a whole new market out there of sweaty Pokemon people. So you need to be targeting them next because they're out there in the world getting sweaty looking for Pokemons. Perfect. Jeez.
We probably should.
Way to tie it all together.
I tied it all together. That's
good job. Yeah. Talk to a man about makeup. You can't do it. It's impossible. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Taryn.
On another page the whole time.
Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, well, congratulations. And we'll hopefully catch up with you soon when you have another launch of a new product.
Thank you so much.
Bye. All right. Bye. I mean, come on. Horse chicks need makeup and we need convenience. And these are two things and something that's good for you. It's a perfect fit for horse women. So I'm glad that Lauren and Tamara both involved in it. And gosh, I mean, I played soccer. I didn't tell her that, by the way. I was like a soccer player.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
I didn't know that.
I played goalie.
Oh, really? I did. At 5'2", you were the goalie?
You didn't have to run as much.
Yeah, but you couldn't jump. You couldn't reach the top of the net.
I led the state in saves.
Really?
In high school. Yeah. This is crazy. Crazy.
Who knew?
I know.
I would
right?
have not guessed that, by the way. I would have not guessed that.
No, I was the smallest goalie in the entire high school organization. Yeah. So it was weird.
Well, you know, another thing that
to let you know that I had to play sports to keep my horse. That was the deal with my dad, just so you know.
You had to play a real sport.
Real sport. So I played basketball and soccer.
You played basketball? You were 5'2". Problem.
I played basketball, soccer, and fast pitch softball. Every season I had a sport.
I didn't know that.
Only way I could keep my horse was if I did something real.
That your dad would be proud of.
Yep. Exactly. He was something he could come watch.
Right.
He couldn't watch me ride.
That's right.
Side
That's
note. I had a much easier time of it. Much easier. All I had to do was get passing grades and I could keep mine. Stay in school. Hey!
It was easier for me to play sports than get passing grades. So there's a reason you're the producer.
and I wrestled and played tennis, so nobody was ever out watching me. It just never happened.
Definitely did not get the hot guy factor.
No. Especially, I was the one getting pinned all the time, so it definitely wasn't wrestling.
There's always has to be a loser, Glenn.
I actually won sometimes in tennis, but wrestling, not so good.
That's hilarious.
There's another thing that women and men that ride horses need, and that's breeches.
That is absolutely true. And we always talk about Ovation helmets and boots all the time, but one of their best sellers is their breeches, and they have men's and women's. And just so you know, there's some guy that you might have heard of named Buck Davidson who only rides in Ovation breeches, and clearly it's working out for him. So they have a huge selection from classic breeches. They have the Euro Weave collection to the fashion forward ones like the Milano and Sorrento. Those just sound awesome. The Milano and Sorrento collections. Plus, Ovation has the very popular Euro Weave Slim Secrets with those tummy flattening panels. Hello. Let's not forget about the kids, though, because they've got fun styles like Horseshoe and Lulu, and the Hearts and Horseshoe breech is like the cutest thing ever, with crystal front and back pockets detailed with embroidered hearts and little horseshoe designs. What horse chick teenager is not going to love that? So most Ovation breeches feature the Drylex tube bottoms, so there's no uncomfortable thing at the bottom, and the full seat lining will keep you cool and comfortable in the hot weather. So you can check them out today at ovationriding.com or at your local or online tack supplier. That's ovation.com. ovationriding.com.
Very good. Well, you know, with all of this talk about Pokemons and cosmetics and everything, I figured appropriate song from Stephanie Quayle would be Sugar High. We're going to be right back after this. Victoria is going to be joining us from Horse and Country TV.
Just us and a billion stars, listening to that river rolling along to the beat of our hearts. You're leaning a little bit closer, and there ain't no coming back down. Either the moon's sinking low or we're floating 100 feet off of the ground. I wish we could lie here forever with your rush I'm getting, I feel like I can touch the sky. Your sweet love has got me on a sugar high. Sugar high. I know you brought 2 glasses and a bottle of sweet red wine, but I think you should save it, 'cause I'm thinking maybe gonna need it tonight. I wish we could lie here forever. This rush I'm getting, I feel like I can touch the sky. Your sweet love has got me on a sugar high.
Well, that was Stephanie Quayle with Sugar High. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. That's stephaniequayle.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We appreciate you stopping by this morning. And we're going to have Victoria. I think she said she might be a little bit late today, so she'll be coming up here shortly. The Australian eventing team was announced, and that was delayed, Jamie, because Paul Tapner actually was filing a protest on that, so it had to go through the processes, and so they have come out now with the final team, and it looks to be Chris Burton riding Santano and Sam Griffiths riding Paul Lank? Some of these names are just incredible. Paul Lank Brocknaw, Shane Rose riding Qualified, and Stuart Tinney riding Pluto. So
Braca. Paul Lank Braca. That's a fun little name. Come here, Paul Lank Braca.
That's the team. Paul Tapner, of course, you'll recognize that name because he's one of the hosts of the Eventing Radio Show, and he still may be on the reserve team. They're not quite sure who the reserve team's going to be yet.
Did I hear a rumor about Jessica Phoenix?
Well, at this point, that's all. Eventing Connect reported that Jessica Phoenix won her challenge and is going to be on the team for the Canadians, on the eventing team for the Canadians. And everybody that listens to the show regularly will know I had a 15-minute rant about this on Friday because we love Jessica.
We love Jessica.
Yes. They're reporting that she's on the team, but the Canadian team is refusing to talk about it. Jessica's refusing to talk about it. So I would say that's unsubstantiated at this point.
Okay.
We heard through sources, but nobody knows who the sources are.
I saw somebody posted it about it yesterday, and I was super happy. And then you haven't said anything.
Because Eventing Nation has not reported it. Because it's not confirmed, Eventing Connect is, you know, kind of reporting it as a thing. But I don't know if Eventing Connect is being more like People Magazine here. I don't know. So I've been kind of holding off getting excited. And Jessica is not confirming it. So, and they did announce the team. And this case, they announced who the four were going to be going on the Canadian team. And Jessica will, if she won her challenge, will be bumping one of them off. So does that suck for that person? You're announced as one of the people going, and then 2 weeks later, you're not going.
Well, and one of the U.S. riders didn't get to go either. Her horse got hurt. I'm trying to find
Maya Black.
Maya Black, and doesn't play fair. She was going as the alternate, and her horse came up with a lameness. So, unfortunately, I was hoping that Elisa would get selected, but she didn't. to go in as the alternate.
Lynn Szymanski goes in her
Lynn
place.
Szymanski, right. Got selected for that.
Donner.
Well, you know, the Australian team, people don't, you know, they think about, when you think of eventing lately, you think of the Germans, right?
Well, and seriously, what I thought was when I saw the Australian thing, I was like, haha, we stole two of your riders.
But they used to be the one to beat. You know, they've won 11.
Yeah, until we stole all their riders.
They won 11 medals between Rome in 1960 and Beijing in 2008, and six of those were gold. So it used to be the Australians were the ones that you really looked, that were the powerhouse and dominated eventing.
When Philip Dutton and Boyd Martin were on their team.
Now,
I love Australians. I love you guys. Sorry, it just happened. I don't know. Don't
Shane Rose won team silver in Beijing in 2008. And this is actually his fourth Olympic team that he made, but he had injuries twice. So this is only the second one he's going to. So, you know, that must suck too. You make four Olympic teams and twice the horses come up with injuries.
Oh, man. So, well, I mean, just geez. Yeah. Still made two.
So they still have a good team, you know. Sam Griffiths, Stuart Tinney. This is a pretty good team. I think it's going to be fun watching eventing at the Olympics this year.
It always is fun. Yeah. It's the best. And you know when you're going to see coverage? Never. Because you're watching damn swimming and gymnastics. Who cares?
But they're, you know, underwater. What? It's all they being covered online by NBC. So you'll be able to watch every... They're saying every sport, every ride, everything's going to be online. And I think dressage is actually going to pick up viewership this year because of Allegro. I think we're going to see more people watching dressage than ever watched before. Even horse people like me who are like, you know, are going to watch that.
Well, the dressage is always, I'm sorry, it's the Olympics. Everything's amazing to watch, but I just get so frustrated. Like, those people are swimming. They can't hear you. I go to, like, we have friends that took their kids to swim meets and is my vet. And she's like, I don't understand why people scream. They just scream at their kids. They can't hear anything. They're underwater. It's like, yeah, great. You're swimming. Awesome. Can I see some horses doing some really cool stuff, please? The only Olympic sport where men and women compete as equals. Can we see that, please? That's a good story. Sorry. Don't get me started.
I see that. I see that. Oh, now, I have another one to bring up while we're waiting for Victoria here.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
This will get you going. I'll get you going with this one. Do you think if you're driving down the highway that you would notice that your horse fell out the back of the trailer?
Oh, dear God.
Would you notice that, by the way?
I would certainly hope so.
Well, in Connecticut over the weekend, and this story made national news. Hold on one second. Victoria's writing to me here. This story made national news. They're driving down Interstate 91, and what happened was the horse kicked out the back door of the trailer and fell onto the highway. Troopers responded after they were alerted that the horse was wandering around the highway. Apparently, the horse, by the way, was fine. It's a little scraped up on the knees and stuff, but actually was alive. And the owners continued on their way for another half an hour. The police found them on the driving down the highway 40 miles away and pulled them over to let them know that their horse was missing.
Now, oh my gosh.
I think there was more to this story. And I think there was more to this story because it was 1 a.m. So either they were really tired or maybe they had a few alcoholic beverages. I don't know. But I think I would notice the door flapping around or something that my horse was missing.
I feel like this story is connected to a really bad trailer ad. Really
right,
bad
exactly.
ad. Like, this is one
That's
of those bad ads.
Thinking. That's what I was thinking, is that that was the case.
Oh my gosh. The story that you posted with the link, it does not have photographs, but I would imagine.
There was a photograph of the horse. I did see in another story, and its knees were pretty scraped up, as you would imagine, but apparently the horse is going to be okay.
Oh my God. It's like in Black Beauty, when Black Beauty gets ridden really hard by the drunk guy and he falls down and they call it breaking his knees, and his knees were scarred and blemished forever.
Oh,
and then
God.
He had to get
How did I know there was
going to
be a Black Beauty reference with this?
He had bad knees and he couldn't stay because nobody would have a
How
horse
did
with
I know?
Knees like
I doubt
that.
He fell out the horse trailer, though.
he fell down because he had a loose shoe because the drunk guy didn't realize it and he galloped him home and he fell and then he was in pain and then he had to be sold because nobody can have knees in a barn like that.
All right. Now the next story. Get off of that story. Jeez, I'm sorry, gosh. I brought that one up.
We're off the rails, people. All right.
Now the next story is Lansdowne Thoroughbreds. Did you hear about this story?
Well, I don't know who Lansdowne Thoroughbred is, but...
They apparently began buying horses at public auction in 2014. They would go to all the big auctions. They bought $1.5 million worth of horses, 30 broodmares, yearlings, and two-year-old thoroughbreds in training. And 2 years later have now filed bankruptcy. And this is the thing that got me about this. They filed bankruptcy owing 76 creditors. They have less than $50,000 in assets. And they owe between $1 and $10 million. Who gets away with owing $10 million before somebody puts them out of business? Not you and I.
No. No, at some point. But then I started realizing that those horses weren't that expensive. If you have 30 horses for $1.5 million, that's only $50,000 a horse. It's like pennies.
And they posted a list, a full list of the creditors they owe to, and it's every veterinarian in Lexington and Ocala, everybody, every feed store, everybody, because you know that they weren't paying their bills to anybody, so they would go to the next one and the next one and the next one. I mean, this is the who's who of in the horse world of anybody you could owe money to in Lexington and Ocala.
Really? So yes. They have a list of all the names?
76 companies.
Oh, my gosh. Is this like Rudin Riddle and
yes,
Haggard's?
Yes, all of them. Every veterinarian between here and Lexington, yes.
Wow. And then do they owe money to like Fazek Tipton?
Yes, they do. It's on the
Keeneland
list. Yep, they're all on the list.
Oh, my gosh. That's Ashford. Yeah.
You and I could never get away with that, right? We would owe $10,000 and have to file bankruptcy. They owe $10 million.
I'll pay you back, Haggard's. I'll pay you back. Yeah. It'll be fine, Kesmark. It'll be fine.
You can trust us. Yeah, apparently not so
good
much.
For it. We own all these horses. We're rolling in money.
Well, Victoria has arrived. Hi, Victoria from Horse and Country
guys.
TV. Were you out playing Pokemon? Be honest.
I don't understand this Pokemon thing. I people have been posting pictures of it. I don't understand. I don't play computer games on computers, let alone in real life.
Well, we did have a whole conversation about the beginning, and we had a lesson in Pokemon from Pokemon players. And you know what? I still don't think I understand it. So you're not alone in that, by the way.
If you want to go and chase things around, just like go and try and catch a horse. Yes. There you go. There's my go into a big field with a halter and try and catch a horse. And it's the same kind of thing, I'm sure.
Well, now it must be getting exciting over at Horse and Country TV because the Olympics are coming up and you're in England and you have Charlotte.
We do. And Charlotte has been in action this week. She went to Hartbury, which is our local kind of agricultural college here where they host quite a few big events in the UK. And Charlotte got 90%. So roll on Rio and another gold medal.
We all watched that video of her freestyle, which was absolutely incredible. And you know why I knew it was in England? Do you know how I knew?
I'm not sure.
Because you guys are so reserved. At the end of that incredible test, nobody was standing up clapping. They all just were sitting clapping. And I was going, if that was in America, they'd be throwing flowers and clapping and cheering. And the horse would be freaking out. That's how I knew it was in England.
Yeah, we don't really go in for the big demonstrative reactions.
Well, wait till they get to Rio. She does that in Rio. They're going to be going. They're going to be stomping. You ever seen the pictures of or video of what happens down there? They'll be rioting because that's what happens in the soccer matches, right? That's what's going to happen.
Like a Rio carnival because the music's quite Rio themed. Everyone's going to start getting up and dancing right
yes.
in the stadium.
They'll be throwing beads at her, you know, the whole thing. Yep.
But my worry is that Charlotte has obviously come up with this new Rio-themed music, thinking she's been really clever. And I reckon every other rider will have done the exact same thing. So by the end, they've all gone at another Rio music. And they'll just be wishing that they could have some ABBA or something. So, yeah.
That's funny. So what else is going on over at Horse and Country?
Do people do dressage to like YMCA and stuff like that? I mean, I think you should.
That'd be funny. Oh my gosh.
Well, Carl Hester's old music, he used to do it to Tom Jones, and you know the song Sex Bomb, and so he would ride around to Sex Bomb, and they, of course, they get rid of the lyrics because they're not really meant to have that many vocals in dressage to music. Apparently it's distracting for the judges, and so yeah, they kind of got rid of most of the lyrics but just left a few choice ones for Carl to bob around to. It was very funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't think he'll be using that in Rio.
I never knew that's why they got rid of the lyrics. I always thought it was distracting for the horse and rider. It's for the judges.
Yeah, like it just is a bit overpowering stuff. I think it's a shame. I think there should be more music. I think we need to jazz things up a bit and dressage to music.
There's a few rap songs that would distract the judges.
My gosh, think about it. Like you're going along and you're trying to remember where you're going, and you've got to turn at E and then do a 5 meter circle and then do some tempi changes and all this, and you're like mouthing the words to, you know, it is unusual to be loved by anyone. And unusual. That's a little more Tom Jones for you. There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you. I thought he'd suddenly joined the show there.
I know, right? It sounded just like I'm an amazing singer. We've already clarified that.
Not only an amazing singer, but a 60-year-old Welshman as well. That's I think I was generous there. I think he's about 70. Never mind.
Well, now Andrew Nicholson too is kicking butt again. Now he did not make the Olympic team, right?
No, he fell out with his equestrian federation after WEG, and apparently the team vet didn't attend his horse quickly enough, and there were fisticuffs. So and he had a serious falling out with the team, and he got knocked off the squad in New Zealand press, and they've kind of been at stalemate, where Andrew's been refusing to kind of apologize, and they are refusing to let him back on the team while Andrew's back to winning everything. And so it is ridiculous that a man of his talent and his form is not on the team, but he is definitely.
Hey, Victoria, we're losing you a little bit. Can you try giving us a call back?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Okay.
And of course, that sounded perfect.
Right, exactly. That's what always happens. But Andrew, yeah, there was a fist fight and all kinds of things after WEG, and things went south with the Federation. And it, we're talking Andrew Nicholson, the eventer.
There was an actual fist fight?
Yeah.
And what was it over?
There was some body contact.
Yeah. It was the veterinarian, and it was something about his horse, and Victoria can probably help us with that. Let me see if I can get her on here. Oops, I seem to have lost everybody now, so I'm going to see if I can get everybody back here at once. I've lost everybody. Everybody is gone.
Thank you for calling Colin Studios host and Paul.
Sorry about this,
line.
People.
Please enter your show.
Did you just hang up on me?
I lost everybody, and I can't seem to get Victoria back onto our call either. So, that's good technology at work there.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Yes. I was over here gabbing to myself. It was wonderful.
Yeah, and we're trying. Victoria's, her Skype just is.
It's grumpy.
I can't seem to add her into a call without it hanging up on everybody. I don't know what is up with her Skype. I have no idea. I keep trying and I can't get her.
Well, so. I'll finish up for her. Absolutely, we are very excited about the Olympic Games, gamies, and we are thrilled that we've got such a wonderful team, and Charlotte is absolutely
wait a minute.
Amazing.
Victoria's back. Oh, she's hearing your crappy imitation of her.
I have become very English in this impression, Jamie. I think you need to work on your Scottish accent.
It's too hard. You need a combo of both.
Yeah,
I can't
she
do
does.
Either.
Yeah. You kind of have a mixed up accent.
I do. 12 years in London, I'll do that to a girl.
But you didn't lose the E's after everything. The horse E's.
No, the horse E's. horses in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't lose that. You kept that. Is that a Scottish thing? Do everybody over there do that?
Yeah. We also we make all our vowels sound funny. Like you say, like boots instead of boots. Books and books and things like that.
So. Sounded the exact same to me.
All right,
I can't even do any differently.
Can you impersonate an American accent?
Oh, please.
I sure can.
Oh, do it. Do it. Do it.
I just did.
Oh.
You missed it.
I missed it.
I said, I sure can.
Oh, that's pretty good. No, it's not too bad.
It's a bit of a kind of hybrid of, I'd like to think I could do different accents, but as in regional accents, but probably not.
They're probably about as good as mine. So.
I got to tell you, though, can you do the really thick Scottish accents that we don't understand at all?
like, if I talk like this, then you'll not understand what I'm talking about. I just, to translate there for your very confused readers, I said, if I talk like this, then you'll not understand what I'm talking about.
So, a boat. Yes.
Sounded like Merida from Brave. I loved
it. Did, yeah.
Yeah, my mum's not a bear, at least, I think, the last time I checked.
That was awesome.
All right, what else you got going on over there?
So we've been keeping Jenny Rudol very busy. She's been off interviewing all our Olympic teams. So we've got some great videos on our website, including she interviewed Michael and John Whittaker, who I think are single-handedly raising the average Olympic age by quite a bit. But it's quite a fun interview. She talks to them about how they're still going at their age and how this is going to be John Whittaker's 6th Olympics and Michael Whittaker's 5th Olympics. And actually, they're still relative newcomers because Nick Skelton, their teammate, is going to his 7th Olympic Games.
Oh my gosh, that's just incredible. That's such a dynasty. It's awesome.
Thank goodness we have Ben Mayer going because, it's stopping the show jumping team all becoming eligible for their bus pass. So, thank God he's going. And also we caught up with William Fox Pitt, who has made a brilliant return following his very serious injury last year. He had a bad head injury. And he talks to Jenny about his comeback and how he's feeling and how aiming for Rio selection has kind of been the thing that's kept him going and got him back to the top level, and how now that he's on the team, he's now got to concentrate on winning some medals.
Man.
So awesome. Now, do you have any new gossip for us from the venue?
I wanted to hear about Utopia. Remember we didn't talk about it because we were waiting.
Isn't Utopia being kept by Carl Hester? He's managed to secure him, so he's going to retire at his yard, which is lovely.
So great. I mean, give everybody a brief kind of history about that battle that was going on.
Well, there's a very lengthy ownership dispute that's been going on since, I think, before the London Olympics. And his former owners ended up being declared bankrupt. And so Utopia got put up for sale at an auction of luxury goods, so alongside like bits of furniture and stuff like that. And thankfully he didn't have to go to the auction house because that would have been random. And people were there then an outcry, and they wanted to put the money forward to buy this horse for Carl, and then other people saying, why can't Carl just buy him himself, he can afford it. But we don't know who bought him. It's a complete mystery, but whoever it is has said that Utopia can live out his days at Carl's, which is great news.
That's fantastic. It's a happy ending for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, he was a great horse, and it's a shame he kind of came along at the same time as Velegro, because Velegro has overshadowed him, but he's equally a horse of capable of getting great scores, of having an amazing temperament that you could just drop the reins on him at the after a test. And he stood there and he helped Britain get their first ever Olympic gold. So we're always going to be really grateful to him for that.
And are you hearing any gossip from the venue? Any new gossip from Rio?
No, I haven't heard too much. I mean, here in Britain, the big news is that all our golfers are backing out at a rate of knots, so they're all refusing to go to Rio.
Actually, you're not the only one. The top 4 golfers in the world are refusing to go to Rio. And this is the first time golf's been back in the Olympics for about 100 years. And
they're
all not going. And they're all citing the Zika virus. But you know what I think it is? Why bother if you're a golfer, who are all very rich, usually, the good ones, the top four certainly are, why risk anything? They don't have to. They got golf tournaments every weekend where they can win tons of money. Why would they even care? And I think that's what it's come down to, is they're going, we don't really care.
Because you're representing your country, yeah, and it's an honor.
They don't care. They're going, yeah. I win. I'm worth $100 million. Why would I risk getting kidnapped in Rio? you know?
Well, that is quite true. But also, I don't really think golf belongs in the Olympics. It's the whole idea of faster, stronger, better, or whatever it is. Faster, stronger, higher.
Here we go.
Where does golf come into that? And it's the same with, they've got soccer in the Olympics and rugby and stuff, and nobody really cares that much about it. And so it really frustrates me when they talk about getting rid of equestrian sports from the Olympics, because that is certainly in dressage and show jumping the pinnacle of the sport, not so much in eventing because they've dropped it down from 4-star, but even so, it's still the thing that everybody wants to do. They want to represent their country. And it does, they do adhere to the ideals of the Olympic ideals of faster, stronger, higher. I've forgotten again. And yeah, I just don't think golf does. And so I think they should get rid of some of these sports and keep equestrian. I could be biased.
I got to tell you, I love badminton, though. I got to tell you, that's my secret thing I watch. I love watching badminton.
But it's a time when you do watch sports like badminton and
ping pong
and enjoy them. Yeah, exactly. But I watch a lot of Olympics, but I have to say I never watch the soccer or the golf or anything, because it's just not that exciting.
Well, let me give you 1 minute to brag on your winner at Wimbledon.
Yay! In fact, we had two Scottish winners at Wimbledon, because we won the wheelchair singles and doubles with a Scottish guy. So I saw somebody make the joke that more people have won Wimbledon for Scotland than who have voted for our current or our new prime minister, which is a bit worrying. And we've got a female prime minister. How did that happen? And so very proud of Andy Murray.
Andy Murray again, yeah, and it was a good match, and I that place went crazy when he won.
Yeah, he's very popular. It's taken a while, but he's broken through. Everybody loves Andy.
Yeah, well, congratulations with that.
Thank you. I'm very proud as a Scot and as a Brit.
And and on the women's side, Serena won again.
She's amazing. Like, I remember being 19 and getting into tennis, and the Williams sisters came along, and they were probably about similar age to me, and they're still going, and like no other women are playing it. Have kept playing for that long, I'm sure. So
well, still mad at Serena, though, because she beat out American Pharoah for the Sportsman of the Year on Sports Illustrated. Sorry.
Yeah, and her and her $500 million in winnings doesn't care. And Serena and Venus actually won the doubles, too. So the Williams sisters pretty much conquered the courts over there.
They are amazing.
And it's the only competition where they wear white. The only one that you'll ever see Serena and Venus in white.
How funny. I'm sure it went a little bit like crazy Technicolor a few years ago, and then they reined everybody in and said, no, you have to wear white. It's traditional. So
yeah.
Typical Britain.
Well, thank you so much, Victoria. You're delightful today. We really appreciate you stopping by, and I'm glad we got you back on here.
You're welcome. Horse and Country. Sorry, it was a bit.
Horseandcountry.tv. Quick question. You finished your series yesterday, right?
It finished on Sunday. Sunday. Yes, we have a winner who's called Ree, and she's lovely. She's Welsh, and she's great, and an ex-racehorse owner. So it was really great that she won.
And was it a big success? You're going to do it again?
I hope so, but we will see. There's a lot of talk of exciting new programs in the pipeline, which I think wouldn't have come up if it hadn't been for this show. So it's been
good
really
for you.
Gratifying. So I'd love it there to be another. And we've certainly had people asking when they can audition and when it's going to be on again. And I think if we do it again, it's going to be even better and bigger.
Good for you. Good job, girl.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you, Victoria.
See you soon.
Bye, girl. I love her.
Your accent was terrible, by the way, your impression of Victoria.
It was perfect.
It would be hard to get the Scottish-English thing. That's a tough one.
I'm just happy that she said I sounded British at all. I embarrass myself publicly on the show for the benefit of you, really, Glenn.
Thank you. I appreciate
Daily.
That. That's
so
why
welcome.
I hire you. That's right.
You're welcome.
That's right. The whole train wreck thing. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Mary Kitzmiller will be here tomorrow talking training, and we'll be asking for some questions. So if you have any questions about training your horses in any which way, send them over. You can email me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com, or if you're an auditor, we'll be posting for questions on the auditor page again as well. And then on Friday, it's really bad ads day. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. If you can, and you want to be brave, record the ad yourself. Just read it into your recorder on your phone and email it over to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And we'll play it on Friday's show. And don't forget, we have the Carrots show coat as a prize this month, and that is a terrific prize worth $130. So you want to get involved in that as well.
I got it yesterday morning, but I didn't want to interrupt the current show that was going on Tuesday, the endurance show. So I still have the video from my helmet cam.
I posted
Zeus.
It on the Horses in the Morning page.
You did? Okay, so I don't have to. Okay,
no, good. You got a bunch of comments on there. You might want to check that out.
Oh, well, I'll have to go. Sorry, he was tossing his head. He doesn't know how to balance yet. I know.
When I watched it, I thought, first of all, there was a lot of comments about the shadows. I got to tell you, those shadows are wicked in that place.
Oh, my gosh. So he ran out on the one fence, and then the next one was totally in the dark. And I thought, if he ran out on the last one, ain't no way I'm getting over this one. So I like trotted down the hill and was like, okay, bud. And he didn't care. Nothing bothered him.
Was it the time of day, or is it just always like that because of all the
trees?
It's
always like that. The intermediate water eliminated most of the intermediate riders because they were coming down a hill and it looked like you were jumping from the sun and the water was shadowed. And it looked like you were just going to jump into a big
black hole. Yeah. And there were two waters on a baby novice, which I found surprising.
James Atkinson was the course designer, and he notoriously is incredibly hard. I remember I went to Copper one year and I was like, James, this course is ridiculous. There was a down bank to a four stride for baby novice. And I said, what is it? He goes, supposed to be hard. We're getting you ready for novice. Come on, suck it up.
Getting you ready for novice.
I'm like, I'm not here to be ready for novice. I'm
here not to kill me or my horse.
Yeah. And so that was the comment. Like probably six or seven of the fences that we had on our course were on the novice course last year. I mean, there's got to be measurements. I mean, you can't just be making this stuff up, right? So
I always thought baby novice was to build confidence, not to.
Yeah, it was crazy. And that's why I got a ribbon, was so many people had such a hard time, and those shadows are hard. That's a really hard cross-country course, because the other thing is the trees whiz by so fast, and you can see in the helmet cam.
Well, they're pretty close too.
And they're really close, and you have a hard time making time because you have no idea how fast you're going, because the trees going by and the sun and the shadows, and you have no clue. You'd see me look at my watch several times in that, because I couldn't. It's hard. It was really hard. But my horse was amazing. To have one little baby run out was totally
fine. I thought so too.
And
it was the same thing I talked to you about your other videos with dressage and jumping stadium, is he just seems willing to do whatever he trusts you. And I don't think he understands, but he's going where you tell him to go. And
yeah,
you know,
he doesn't get it, but he goes, oh, you see that in the show jumping. He just
it'll be
goes,
really fun
what?
For you Here? When that light bulb moment goes on, when he starts to really get it, understand why he's doing it. I think that's going to be really fun when you get to that moment. And then the other thing, yes, the head throwing. How do you not have a bloody nose when you ride this horse? Because it's the first thing I thought of when you watch the helmet cam, because his head gets really close to your face.
Well, he's got a little Mustang head, a Mustang neck. So he's built very upright. And he was just, he doesn't understand contact yet. And so when I would, half halt him, he was like, no,
right.
I'm going
out of my mouth. I'm running.
and it was, you know, I didn't feel like I had a pulling war. My arms didn't hurt. He was just resistant of the contact, and that'll come with better balance and better fitness. I mean, my God, we've been training for this horse trial for all of 2 weeks. So it was, I just was impressed with his happy attitude about it.
The fact that he finished that with one run out was amazing. Again, because of the challenges, it's not like it was wide open grass like at a fair hill where there's not a tree around. Gosh.
Yeah. We ever compete at the horse park, we're going to just go advanced because it's open and beautiful and perfect. I don't see the helmet cam video on the horses in the morning.
I just pinned it to the top. So if you refresh, it'll be the one at the top. And okay. So if anybody wants to go watch it, I just pinned it to the top. It'll be the first thing you see.
I'm gonna spell his name correctly, by the way, here.
It's E-U-S, right?
Yeah.
How was it spelled wrong there?
Yeah, because my student posted it on my Facebook page and she spelled his name wrong.
Oh, it's like, yeah, you're right. It's spelled wrong on the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it was fun to watch and yes, very impressive for first time out.
Oh,
and I'm not just
gosh.
Saying that because you're my co-host.
Well, I actually would expect you to say something negative. So, like, Chad watched it and he was like, oh my God, I can't believe he ran out between that jump and that tree. It's like 6 inches. And I'm like, I know. I don't know how he did it, but we did it. But thanks for watching.
Yes, that was very cool. And the other thing that impressed me with that is, and I've walked cross country courses many times, but it just seemed to take forever. I mean, that's a long ride.
Course. I did make time even with the run out though. That's how fast he was going a couple of those spots. But yeah, it was over a 5 minute, 5:11 was the optimum time.
But
so
5 minutes
really
sounds short until you watch one of these videos and you realize that's a long time.
I never sit down and watch 5 minute videos. Ever. So at least if you're going to sit down and watch some of it, skip to the end because it gets better.
Well, that was terrific. Well, thank you, everybody, again. We will talk to you tomorrow morning here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Have a great day.